First of all, I want to thank you for having me in your pulpit. It's a real pleasure to be here. And it's great that we can have the young people here. And yesterday we embarked on a journey together to look at the character of Christ. And this morning I'm just going to start with that question that Jesus had. And we're only going to look at that question, actually two questions. Who do the crowd say I am? And then who do you say I am? Because there's a question that's very impersonal, and there's a question that's very personal. And so this morning we're going to look at these, this part of Scripture, really the first verses that we read from 18 to 22, to see exactly who this Jesus is. And as we look at this, we come to find Jesus is the one who is the Messiah, the Anointed One, the one who has been sent from God to seek and to save those that are lost. The Bible tells us quite clearly that all of us have sinned, all of us are lost, and without Jesus Christ, we would be dead in our sins. But Jesus Christ came to suffer many things, to be rejected by men, even by his own people, to suffer on a cross, and then to be raised from the dead. And in those days, we find that people were trying to figure out who Jesus was. Now, here's my first question to you. If you were to close your eyes right now this second and try and visualize God, what would the picture be in your mind? I'm a very visual person. You can see me from all angles. I'm glad you laughed. But I'm a very visual person. I like to see things in front of me. And so who is this Jesus Christ? And I thought, well, maybe as we close our eyes and think of who God is, we see him, first of all, maybe as a granddad. You know, one of those guys who sit in the armchair and has a pipe and has some slippers on, and he just rocks the world away. He's just in his rocking chair, and you get your pocket money from him. And sometimes he has an angry look and tells you a wee tale that goes on for far too long. But what does God look like? What have you got in your mind today? Many people thought that God was impersonal. Many people thought that God was distant. Many people thought that actually God is out there somewhere. God set the world in motion and then disappeared. That is called deism. And that's a lie. God just didn't let the world go and spin. He is intimately involved in the world. And so God isn't a granddad in the sky, but he's one who has come and come very near. In fact, Jesus is the one who took on human flesh, one who is fully God and fully man in the same person. And so when you think of that in your mind that God is distant, he's not. He has come very close. He has come to enter into our humanity. He has become one of our brethren. He's like you in every way, so he can sympathize with you. He knows what it is to be tired. He knows what it is to be hungry. He knows what it is to live in this world. And yet, he never sinned. What a huge difference. Maybe this morning you don't think that God looks like a granddad, but like the comic strip. Zeus, you know, ready with the thunder and lightning to fire it down to earth, and a lovely gold halo. An angry God. A God who's into punishing people. God is just. And he gives us what we deserve. In fact, God gives us what we don't deserve. For God is one who is slow to anger, because we offend him every day. He is abounding in love, and he's someone that you can know. Someone you can know for yourself even this morning in this place. You can open your Bible and you can read about him. You can open the Bible and say, well, who is this Jesus Christ? Now, Jesus has got his followers around him, and he asks this question: who do the crowds say that I am? As I stand here and look out, that's a question for every preacher. Who do the crowds think of Jesus? What is in their minds about this Jesus Christ? Because people will say he's a good man. Oh, he's a great moral teacher. Oh, he's someone who can be relied upon. Someone who does miracles for free. But will people say this morning that this is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one who came in the flesh, the one who entered into our humanity so that he could die on a cross as our representative and also to bear the wrath of God as the God-man? Now, what do they say? What do the crowds say? The first thing they talk about, the disciples say that he's like John the Baptist. Amazing, isn't it? The people say he's John the Baptist. Now, if you know your Bible, you'll find out that John the Baptist has been beheaded. He has spoken many times to Herod Antipas. He has spoken to him and told him he shouldn't have taken his brother's wife. And Herodias didn't like that very much. And so her daughter danced before Herod. And Herod says, I'll give you what you want, up to half the kingdom. And so she spoke to her mother. And what happened to John the Baptist? Oh, he lost his head. People said it's John the Baptist come back to life again. Some people believed in the resurrection, others didn't. But this is John the Baptist back to life again. Oh, very good. We see what people start to believe. But then the people say, well, who is this Jesus? He is Elijah. Elijah. Now, what do we know about Elijah? Do we remember how he took his servant, the next prophet, Elisha, and how they found themselves on one side of the Jordan and the mantle was put in the river and the river Jordan moved back? Remember how they walked across to the other side of the Jordan? And then Elijah said to Elisha, he says, you can ask anything of me. What would you like? He says, I want a double portion of your spirit. I want what you've got, only double. Remember how Elijah exited this world? Elijah was taken up in a whirlwind, and his servants saw the fiery chariots and the horsemen of the Lord. What a picture that is. That Elijah was taken up to heaven before someone else's eyes, and even those who didn't believe in it, they set a search party out to look for Elijah. And in the last one, they said that, oh, this Jesus Christ is one of the other prophets, Jeremiah or Isaiah or whoever else. The people were in confusion as to who Jesus is. Now, this morning, I wonder, are you in confusion? Are you in confusion as to who God is and in confusion who Jesus is? Because we find many people who sit in churches, many people who are both young and old, are in confusion. Oh, Jesus could be John the Baptist, he could be Elijah, he could be one of the other prophets. No, Jesus Christ is the Son of God who came into our time and space and was conceived of the Holy Spirit and born of a virgin and came and lived amongst us. He walked on this earth. He didn't float along. He wasn't some phantom. No, he was fully human and fully God in the same person. You see, I was telling the young people that there's a thing called docetism, if that's what you call it. People thought that Jesus just floated along. He just floated about the place. He wasn't really on the earth. He was just there. No, Jesus was fully human. He had a pulse like you and I have. He had real blood. He had a real body. Jesus Christ was a real person, and he came with a real message. Sent of God, saying that God isn't far from you. God isn't far away from you at all. And so this morning, We've got to see who this Jesus is. Listen to what Jesus said in Luke chapter 4, because this is what Jesus was clear. He was clear about his mission. Listen to what he says in Luke chapter 4. He was handed the book of Isaiah, and he opened it and found the place, and it said this: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. It has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, good news to those who are lost, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Jesus Christ came, and he came to reveal God to you and to me and to those who were living way back in his day. Jesus Christ came to say, God isn't far away. In fact, you can know him for yourself. Jesus came to actually show us all the glory of who God is. That the Father sent the Son into the world. That the Son of God came to die for sinners, of whom we are all sinners. And that today the Spirit of God applies the work of Christ's death on the cross to our lives. How do we get to know Jesus? How did the disciples get to know Jesus? They spent time with him. They saw he was a real man. He was the God-man. He was the one mediator between God and man. He was the one who came and says, I've come to die for you. I've come to save you from your sin. Do you believe that? Because Jesus changes the question, doesn't he? He turns to his disciples and he says, but who do you say I am? Not the person beside you, but who do you say Jesus is? Is he the one who came and showed you who you are as a sinner? Is he his one who came to show you who he is as God who came in the flesh? Ladies and gentlemen, this morning, young people, you need to know who this Jesus is. For this Jesus, he will change your life completely. He will transform you inwardly. He will take you away from being dead, unalive, foreign to the things of God, thinking it's for those people over there who want to be religious, to thinking that actually I need to know Jesus because I am a sinner and sinners are lost forever. And Jesus came to show the love of God on that cross so that you can know him, so that you can be saved by him, so your sin and offense will be removed from before his eyes. Let me tell you a story. When I was younger, that wouldn't be hard, would it? When I was younger, about 13, I gave my life to the Lord Jesus. I trusted in Jesus. I heard that Christ had died on a cross for me, and he was the substitute. He was in my place. I was condemned, but he, the innocent one, took my place. The next year, after being a Christian for a year, there was a Bible quiz. Would you hear the simple question? Right? The question was, name one beatitude. Right? And that question came to me personally. I was on a team, and the other team members weren't allowed to say anything. A beatitude? I've got an attitude. But I don't know what a beatitude is. What on earth is a beatitude? Do you know what a beatitude is? You find it in the Bible, Matthew 5. But I couldn't answer the question. You see, I said I knew Jesus. I said I was his child. I said I was following him. But did I really know what he said? You see, the only way to know who do you say I am is to find out about him by reading your Bible, by actually spending time with him in prayer, by actually knowing him. Praise the Lord this morning, actually. I can tell you a few beatitudes. But could you tell me them all? And then we've got to remind ourselves that in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1, that knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. There was once a man who walked into a Christian bookshop, and he asked for a certain book by a certain author, and the owner of the bookshop says, "Do you know that guy?" He said, "Oh yes, I know him. He's a friend of mine." And then he didn't know that the author of the book walked into the shop. I gave him a wee nod. "How you doing?" He didn't even realize who it was because he was an acquaintance. He wasn't someone who really knew him personally. And these disciples, they knew Jesus personally. Do you know Jesus personally? For here it is that Jesus came to reveal God to man, but also we find that Jesus came to do far more than that. For Jesus came in the flesh, didn't he? So now, this Jesus can tell what it is to be where you are. Jesus Christ was tempted in every point, and yet he never sinned. And Jesus Christ can sympathize in every way with what you go through. Do you believe that? The book of Hebrews tells us he had to become like his brethren. So here is Jesus, human, fully, but there's more. For he's fully God. You know, remember what he did with the storm, with the disciples? He calmed the storm. He had power over creation. You're the author of creation. With a word, he stilled that storm. Remember what Jesus did to a son of the widow of Nain in the chapter before? Oh, the boy was dead. He was in his coffin. It was a procession of a funeral march, and Jesus told the boy to get up. See, Jesus just isn't a man. He's fully God. He can do things that only God can do. He can raise the dead. He can calm the storm. He can feed the 5,000 plus people. This Jesus Christ came to reveal God to man, but he also came to be fully human so as he can know what it is to be you. And then finally, because it is finally, it's not lastly because it's not going to last a long time, but it's the most important thing. Jesus came to die for sinners. Jesus told Simon Peter, after he says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," he said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected." He's going to die, be killed, and on the third day be raised. You see, we can think that this Jesus, this was man's plan. But if you were to read the book of Acts, it says this, by the predetermined will of God, Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again. And this is the most important message in all the world, to know that Jesus Christ is your Savior. That Jesus Christ paid the penalty for your sin. He died in your place. And Jesus Christ, who is he? A healer? A miracle worker? No, he's a Savior. For he knows your heart. He knows exactly what's in there. That the moment you stand up from your chair, you'll have thoughts of something else apart from Jesus. And here is Jesus saying, "I'm coming to die for you." And you know what Simon Peter did? This is the bold, brash Simon Peter. Oh, he's a great disciple, isn't he? He's the rock. He takes Jesus aside and says, "Jesus, you're not going to die." And Jesus had to say to him, "Get behind me, Satan. You're not mindful of the things of God. You're mindful of the things of man." So even though Simon Peter says, "You're the Christ," he got it right. "You're the anointed one, the Messiah. You're the one who's going to die for my sins." He got it so wrong. You're not going to die, Jesus. And with this, I finish. Don't get it wrong this morning as to who Jesus is. He's not a granddad in the sky, sets the world in motion and disappears. No, he's not that. He's not just a phantom just floating about. No, Jesus is fully God and fully man in the same person. And Jesus Christ is the one who died for your sins. Who do you say Jesus is? Who is he to you? Not to your friend beside you, but who is Jesus? How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in our believer's ear. Is Jesus precious to you? For to those who believe, Jesus is precious. And even again, when we hear the same message from the Bible, it should thrill our soul that we're being pointed again to the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Who do you say I am? Are you willing to answer that question even this morning? Even with, I don't know? Well, if you don't know, you slip in at the back of our meetings and you listen. Because we're going to find out that Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is our great high priest. Jesus Christ is the coming King. We're going to find out about Jesus this week. Right at front and center to focus on Him. Because He's the only Savior. The only one who demonstrated the love of God on a cruel cross outside Jerusalem's walls. Do you know this Jesus? Do you love this Jesus? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that Jesus Christ was the man of sorrows. He was one who came into our world and lived amongst us. And yet he was rejected so that we could be accepted. He was bruised that we may be healed. He was condemned that we may be declared innocent. He was judged so that we would not be judged. He died as an innocent to bring the guilty close to God. And who do I say he is? Father, have us to respond to you to see that God the Father sent God the Son, that God the Son willfully came to die for sinners, and that God the Spirit comes and applies this salvation to our lives, to men and women, young people, boys and girls. Help us to answer this question. Who do you say Jesus is? Help us to speak through these things. Help us to use Scripture this morning. Not to speak about the football or the weather. Not to speak about world events. But to focus our minds on Jesus Christ. To know Him, not as an acquaintance, but to know Him personally. Help us, Father, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.